Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
53-year-old Bill Swick is at his home about an hour's drive from Chicago, getting speech therapy from his wife, Martha. He has a rare degenerative brain disease. Usually, his therapy sessions are virtual, but that's not happening with the government shutdown because the Medicare telehealth program has been halted. Martha Swick says it's frustrating because they want to continue with her husband's progress.
I'm not trained as a physical therapist or an occupational therapist or a physical therapist. I'm just doing what I'm able to at home as a wife and a caregiver. But eventually, I'm really going to need those appointments to come back.
I'm at home. I don't work anymore. Can't work. I can't read. I can't do math. I have trouble... What else do I have trouble doing?
Walking, balancing.
Their experience has been a common thing in recent weeks, with millions of patients on Medicare fee-for-service plans who count on healthcare waivers to attend appointments from home. But with Congress unable to agree on a deal to fund the government, healthcare providers must decide whether to still offer telehealth services and hope to be reimbursed in the future. I'm Donna Water.
The government shutdown is changing what is being offered to some trick-or-treaters. In Denver, mom Casey Neufeld usually can be seen on Halloween handing out the usual sugary favorites. This year, she's
also handing out non-perishable items for people who may be affected by the cutting of the SNAP benefits.
Instead of M&Ms or Hershey bars, trick-or-treaters could get ramen or packs of macaroni and cheese.
I can only imagine how people are going to be struggling in this economy when a good chunk of your income for your family is now suddenly just not going to happen. It's not going to be there.
Neufeld wishes she could just buy out the whole aisle at Costco. She also says lawmakers need to be reminded during the shutdown the people are in charge and can make change.
They're here to serve us.
President Trump is once again demanding the Senate eliminate the legislative filibuster. It comes on the 31st day of the government shutdown. A filibuster stops action on most bills unless 60 senators vote to move it forward. On Air Force One, the president said filibuster is blocking the reopening of government.
We only need 5 Democrats, but they've become a radical left partner. They really have become a very radical left partner, and they've lost their minds.
Democrats are holding back support of a government funding bill until Republicans agree to an extension of health care tax benefits.
Obamacare has turned out to be a disaster, as I've been saying for years. It can be fixed or redone. People don't get good health care.
Filibuster isn't in the Constitution, and it wasn't part of the Founding Fathers' vision for the Senate. I'm Ed Donahue.
Rockefeller Center has a winner for Christmas Tree of the Year. A majestic Norway spruce from just outside Albany, New York, has been chosen to take center stage in the plaza. Officials say the 75-foot spruce will be cut down November 6th. It traditionally gets a police escort down to Manhattan, arriving 2 days later, where more than 50,000 multicolored LED lights will be set up on it, along with a 900-pound Swarovski crystal star on top. The tree lighting is December 3rd during a live broadcast on NBC. After the holiday season ends, the tree becomes lumber for Habitat for Humanity to use for housing projects for families in need. Julie Walker, New York.
Take an Amex card with you on your morning coffee run and earn cash back. On a weekend trip, earn miles. See if you pre-qualify for an American Express card with no impact on your credit score. Learn more at americanexpress.com/check-4-offers. Your credit score may be impacted if you accept a card. Terms apply.
When your Halloween pumpkin turns yucky, don't let it rot in a landfill. The Energy Department says after Halloween, more than 1 billion pounds of pumpkins are sent to the landfill.
A large percentage of what ends up going to the landfill is stuff that could have been composted.
Landfills emit a lot of methane. Dante Sclafani, compost coordinator at the Queens County Farm Museum in New York, says once you are done with the pumpkin, break it into small pieces.
And that makes it easier for things like earthworms and the like to get to the meat of the pumpkin and start breaking it down.
Pumpkins of any age are good for composting.
Even if it's mostly mushy goo, once it ends up in our bins and we're able to put it out there and mash it up and put it into the pile, it'll start breaking down properly.
Besides composting, the old pumpkins have use in the kitchen. The thick parts between the outer skin and the inner pulp that hold the seeds can be used for soups and stews. Dictionary.com's word of the year isn't even a word. It's more of a viral term. Saying it usually involves juggling your hands in the air.
6-7.
Kids and teenagers can't stop repeating it and laughing about it. Parents and teachers can't make any sense of it. 6-7 exploded in popularity over the summer and was driven by social media. Dictionary.com says its annual selection is a linguistic time capsule reflecting social trends and events. The site admits it, too, is a bit confused by
6-7.
Merriam-Webster calls it a nonsensical expression used especially by teens and tweens. I'm Ed Donahue.
For many families, the trust placed in school crossing guards protecting their children is almost invisible. And for Dawn Lee, the dangers she faces on the job are impossible to miss.
Basically, we're just out there putting our life in jeopardy for $16 an hour.
Crossing guards are key to ensuring kids get to school safely. But that job is often done by putting their own safety at risk. With inadequate safety measures and limited accountability for drivers, the responsibility of crossing students from one end of the street to the other isn't just dangerous, but at times, fatal.
The main thing is the safety with the speeders.
Travis Callis was a crossing guard in Martinsburg, West Virginia. He says while he's never been hurt by speeding drivers, he's had several close run-ins.
It's almost common enough that it's a joke. I'm in the street and they just drive through.
Lee and Callis say they'll report these instances to their schools or police departments. But Lee says,
they don't really say much. Thank you. We'll take care of it. You know, anything to appease you.
I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The nation's biggest city will pick its next mayor Tuesday in an election, sparking debate over the future of the Democratic Party and drawing the ire of President Trump. Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani, a state assembly member, is up against Democratic former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is running as an independent. He has the support of the city's Democratic mayor, Eric Adams, who dropped out of the race. Trailing behind in the heavily blue city within the blue state is Republican Curtis Sliwa. The 34-year-old Mamdani won the Democratic primary. He's come to symbolize the more youthful, progressive wing of the party. Trump delights in linking him and his far-left policies to communism, threatening to pull federal funding from the city if he wins. Cuomo, at 67, is seen by many as the traditional political establishment. Julie Walker, New York.
Multiple people were arrested Friday in Michigan near Detroit, and FBI Director Kash Patel says they were allegedly planning a violent attack over the Halloween weekend. In a statement, Patel said that through coordination with local partners, a potential act of terror was stopped before it could unfold. Two people briefed on the investigation tell the AP it's believed the plot was inspired by Islamic State extremism, and those in custody may have been radicalized online. A source said some of the group discussed carrying out an attack around Halloween, referring to Pumpkin Day in an online chat room. The references to Halloween prompted the FBI to make arrests. At a house in Dearborn, residents and reporters watched as federal agents and state police brought in bags from an evidence truck and carried items out. The FBI in Detroit confirms that officers were also in the neighboring town of Inkster. I'm Jennifer King.
The U.S. Senate investigation says there are credible reports of medical neglect and poor conditions at immigration detention centers nationwide. The report, released by Senator John Ossoff, a Democrat from Georgia, says detainees have been denied insulin, medical attention, and forced to compete for clean water. The report builds on an August review that detailed the mistreatment of children and pregnant women, with both reports totaling some 580 cases. In Illinois, advocates are suing federal authorities over what they call inhumane conditions at a Chicago-area federal immigration facility. I'm Donna Water.
Tim Andrews lived with a pig kidney for a record 271 days before surgeons removed it last week as the organ's function declined. Doctors at Mass General Brigham says that Andrews is now resuming undergoing dialysis, calling Andrews a selfless medical pioneer. Andrews is among a handful of people who've received experimental transplants of gene-edited pig organs, which researchers hope might one day help alleviate a shortage of donated organs. More than 100,000 people, most needing kidneys, are on the U.S. transplant list. Thousands die waiting. Andrews remains on that list, although his blood type is hard to match. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Is there a carcinogen in your blood pressure medication? The FDA says drug makers, including Teva Pharmaceuticals, have recalled over 500,000 bottles of prazosin hydrochloride capsules, a medicine prescribed by doctors to relax blood vessels. It's sometimes used to treat prostate issues or prescribed off-label for nightmares and sleeping problems associated with post-traumatic stress disorder. Some of the recalled prazosin hydrochloride capsules contain nitrosamines, impurities that form during manufacture or storage as substances degrade. Low levels of nitrosamines are common in water and foods, but because they're considered potentially cancer-causing, the government has set daily intake limits. The FDA advises patients to talk to their healthcare professionals about concerns and other treatment options. I'm Jennifer King.
Mountaineer Jim Morrison has skied the last unskied route on Mount Everest.
I have had this goal of trying to climb and ski Everest for a really long time.
Morrison told the Associated Press that his journey down the north face of Mount Everest on October 15th was a spectacular 4 hours of skiing down a horrific snowpack.
I've been chasing big mountains.
It starts at 29,000 feet in the death zone, where oxygen is scarce. Documentarian Jimmy Chin filmed the run for an upcoming film.
As audacious of a dream as they come.
Any small mistake would have meant a 9,000-foot fall.
There's just the appeal of trying this thing that so many people have tried and have failed on.
The adventure was originally planned with Morrison's partner, who died in 2022. Morrison says he completed the run for both of them.
It meant the world to me. It was the ultimate ski run on planet Earth.
I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to On Football with me, Rob Motti. NFL trade deadline is coming up. It's Chiefs-Bills week, easily the biggest game on the schedule in Week 9. And Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud joins me. Always great to talk to C.J. Stay tuned for an insightful conversation. Tuesday is the NFL's trade deadline. We've seen some minor trades so far, and we've seen some big names mentioned in trade speculation, and that's what I want to address, because you're going to see a ton of rumors and reports that sometimes have no merit whatsoever because there's lack of accountability in this industry, and clicks are prioritized over actual journalism. If one executive on another team thinks a player could get traded, that's not a legitimate report. In fact, that's actually nonsense. Think about it. One GM or one coach or one front office executive says this team might trade that guy. Well, that's one person's opinion. Why are they offering it? Why are they saying it anonymously? What do they have to gain? Are they trying to stir up trouble? Maybe in the hopes of landing that player on the cheap? Give me one person that says this guy may be traded, and I can give you 10 or 15 other coaches or GMs or executives that would probably say no way. So don't trust everything you hear. C.J. Stroud was the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2023. He's led the Texans to two straight division titles. He's always a pleasure to interview. Here's C.J.
C.J., great to have you on, man. You guys had a tremendous game. The Texans had a tremendous game against a tough defense with the 49ers. What do you have to do to kind of sustain that success, build off that, and what went right in that game?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I just say we did us better. We're really good on first, second down. You know, it's always a key to victory for us, you know, being, you know, efficient, me, you know, finding completions, you know, getting the ball in my hand pretty early. And I think that's always a recipe for success. So, got to just keep that rolling. Running the ball, you know, definitely help. And then just, you know, having a little one-off play screens, misdirections, RPOs, things that, you know, we don't do a bunch, but, you know, could, you know, keep the defense off balance. I think it would be good for us.
You made a lot of tremendous plays throwing a football. There was one in particular running the ball, CJ. It was like 2nd and 8. You dropped back. It looked like they had you bottled in. And then you just ran down the sideline. And that speed, man, you showed off some speed, got the first down. Like, is that something that you think you can incorporate more into your game if needed?
Yeah, that's something that I'm more comfortable doing. I work really hard, you know, throughout the week to, like, get my body right and be able to hit those somewhat top speeds. I kind of felt like I was jogging a little bit in that. I'm not really used to being on the edge much. So, like, I'm just trying to, like, see where I can go and, like, see what I can do. But, yeah, I just try to make plays, man. Whatever that looks like, running the ball, throwing the ball, whatever it looks like, I try to do to put my team position away.
You got a tough opponent this week, Denver's defense. I just talked about the Niners having a great defense. Denver's excellent. A lot of players on that side of the ball who can come after the quarterback. What's the biggest challenge that you're facing this week?
They're really their depth, you know, from D-line to backers to, you know, their DB, the DB core. You know, they do a good job of mixing coverage. You know, Vance Joseph is a great defensive coordinator. He's been good for a really long time. So a lot of different coverage, a lot of different blitz packages and man leverages. So they do a bunch. I think the better we can just focus on what we're doing, you know, the recipe for success would be a little easier.
CJ, this week we found out that Carson Wentz played 2.5 games for Minnesota with a torn labrum in his left shoulder, dislocated shoulder, fractured socket. Like, as a player, as a quarterback, you guys are always playing hurt. You're always playing through stuff. What goes into that mindset, like, when you're dealing with something? How do you decide? How do you go through it? How do you navigate through how you can endure and go out there and be there for your teammates?
I think, you have to have a love for, you know, the game, and a love for, you know, being out there, and also a love for your teammates. And I think for me, you know, that's something that drives me every day, you know, especially having a God-given talent like God has blessed me with. I try to honor that and give him the glory back. And then I think, plus on top of that, you know, having my, which that's way more important, but also having people who rely on you and depending on your success. And that's something that I actually, you know, I've had a lot of experience with since I've been a teenager, you know, having, you know, wanting to, you know, help my family out. And so I think that some of those same emotions come, you know, week in and week out with injuries and doing things like that. So, you know, I hope Carson's okay. I know, you know, he's going into surgery, but hopefully surgery goes good. He'll be able to get on the field again. But yeah, it's never easy, but it's always worth it in the end. And I think, but also it is very important to, you know, protect your mental health in those instances as well. I think that's probably the hardest thing in those moments.
Partnered with Ashley Furniture, and it ends up being that it's a woman named Ashley who gets the complete home makeover. Tell me about that experience. What went into that and how much you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, so I've been working with Ashley for a long time now, since college. They're a partnership that I really do cherish because they do things in the community that I hold near and dear to my heart. And from the time I've been in college, they've included me in multiple things. And this was just perfect. You know, the Delivering Dreams contest hosted by Ashley has been really not only helpful for, you know, Miss Ashley, but it's also helped me and helped me be grateful for having a home and having furniture and things that, you know, we take for granted. And I think it couldn't have gone to somebody more deserving than Miss Ashley, which is so ironic that her name is Ashley. But she was given over 28 nominations for this contest, and she ultimately won. Her husband Derek and her are just a beautiful relationship, and they're rooted in Christ, rooted in the Lord. They have a ministry called Agape here in Houston, where they serve all over, you know, the southern part of Houston, from Third Ward to South Point to, you know, a lot of different places that, you know, kids need guidance. And I'm just very grateful that I was a part of it. Today, you know, she got to see her home, her and her husband, and they were crying and praying over the home, and man, it was just something beautiful to be a part of, and I'm just very grateful for it.
It's time for Pro Picks. I keep giving you free winners. Last week, the four-pack was 3-1 straight up and against the spread. Overall, this year, we're 24-7-1 straight up, 23-9 against the number. We'll start with the best bet. Monday night, Arizona, they're 2-5 at Dallas, who is 3 4-1. Cowboys, 2.5-point favorites. The Cardinals are coming off a bye. They're riding a 5-game losing streak. They should have Kyler Murray back to face the NFL's second-worst defense. The Cowboys have been up and down over the first half. They got to get on a winning streak at some point. Defense is their issue. They have the number 2 offense in the league, number 1 passing attack with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, but that 31st-ranked defense is killing them. I'm surprised this line isn't closer to 4.5. It made me pause, but I'm still taking Dallas 30-23. For the upset special this week, I'm looking at Seattle 5-2 at Washington 3-5. Seahawks are -3.5. Sam Darnold's playing well for Seattle. The defense is allowing 19.4 points per game. The Commanders played the Chiefs tough for a half on Monday night, and that was with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. They're supposed to get Jaden Daniels. I'm counting on that. This is a team that went to the NFC title game last year, and they've already matched the same amount of losses as they had all of last season. I'm going to go with the desperate team theory here. Washington cannot afford another loss. Commanders 23-20. Next, I'm looking at the Los Angeles Chargers 5-3 at Tennessee 1-7. Chargers are 9.5-point favorites. Justin Herbert and the entire LA offense was impressive in a Thursday night win against Minnesota, so they'll have extra rest going into this matchup. Titans interim coach Mike McCoy, he coached the Chargers 2013-16. I don't know that it's any sort of a revenge game. Tennessee's lost 11 straight home games. The Titans are 13-35-2 against the spread in their last 50 games. It's a bad team, folks. Chargers 31-13. Last of the four-pack, San Francisco 5-3 at the New York Giants 2-6. 49ers are 2.5-point road favorites. Christian McCaffrey could have a big day against the defense that last week surrendered 150 yards to Saquon Barkley and 104 to Tank Bigsby. The 49ers, they're missing key players, but they do have McCaffrey. They do have George Kittle. So whether it's Mac Jones or Brock Purdy coming back, I like the Niners. The Giants lost Cam Scadaboo to a gruesome injury last week. They've already lost Malik Nabers. It's a tough task for Jackson Dart. Now, San Fran doesn't have Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, or Bryce Huff on defense. Still, Niners 24-19. That's it for this week. Thank you to CJ Stroud. Thank you for listening to On Football. Thanks to Mike Hempman and Guillermo Gonzalez for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for the full pro picks, On Football analysis, and more NFL news.
It's the world's most valuable toilet, and it's up for auction at Sotheby's in New York with a $10 million starting price. The commode is solid gold, and it's a sculpture entitled America by Italian artist Maurizio Catalan. It may be a sculpture, but it's a fully functional toilet, which Sotheby's calls an incisive commentary on the collision of artistic production and commodity value. Last year, Catalan's work entitled Comedian, a banana duct taped to a wall, sold at a New York auction for $6.2 million. I'm Donna Warder.
The COVID-19 pandemic and its surge of social isolation led billions of people to use social media to discover new music from around the world. South Asian music was a part of that. He said it's Avara is a first-generation Indian-American artist. Earlier this year, she sat in a bed of rose petals at a concert hall in Brooklyn. It was the opening performance of her first tour. She's gained over 250,000 new Spotify followers so far this year.
The social media stuff does not translate to live stuff all the time, you know?
South Asian artists have been performing on world stages recently, including at the FIFA World Cup's closing ceremonies and the popular music festival Coachella. Avara says that growing up in Marietta, Georgia, she felt left out. She hopes to change that with her current platform.
But I think such a big goal is to make people feel safe and seen, especially to have, just to have a space where it's like people of color and, you know, they feel like they belong.
I'm Haya Pinjwani.
King Charles is stripping his disgraced brother, Prince Andrew, of his remaining titles. He's also evicting him from his royal residence.
I am pretty astonished, I have to say.
It comes after weeks of pressure to act over Andrew's relationship with sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
This is the strongest action against a member of the royal family.
Royal commentator Jenny Bond says the king is acting in harmony with public opinion, media opinion, and parliamentary opinion.
I've never seen as much criticism of a member of the royal family as we've had of Andrew, even to the point that You know, over last weekend, I was feeling a touch uneasy about being part of that pylon on Andrew, wondering just how far it could go.
Andrew will be known as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and not as a prince, and he will move from his Royal Lodge residence into private accommodation. I'm Ed Donahue.
Top Kyiv officials say Ukrainian forces have destroyed one of Russia's advanced new hypersonic missiles by striking it on the ground at a military base in Russia. The Oreshnik missile, which can fly at 10 times the speed of sound and has been touted by Russian President Vladimir Putin as invulnerable to air defense systems and a game-changing weapon, was hit, the officials say, at the Kapustin Yar military firing range near the Caspian Sea in southwestern Russia. Meanwhile, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky tells reporters, "The situation in Pavrovsk in Donetsk is difficult. All of the Russian forces are there. You know that around 170,000 enemy personnel are concentrated in that direction." On Wednesday, Russian President Vladimir Putin had claimed his troops had surrounded the Ukrainian forces in that city, while Ukrainian military officials vigorously deny the claim. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, fear and solidarity over deportations at a D.C. church, and Orthodox Jews protest mandatory military service. Dozens of detentions and deportations among parishioners at a D.C. Catholic church is leaving the congregation in fear. AP's Luis Andres Henao has more.
The Shrine of the Sacred Heart is a Catholic church located just 2 miles from the White House. It was started by immigrants, and it was intended to be a sanctuary for worshipers. But now, its mostly immigrant congregation is steeped in fear. Church leaders say more than 40 parishioners have been detained or deported since federal law enforcement stepped up the deployment in August. Many parishioners are too scared to attend Mass, buy food, or seek medical care as the Trump administration's immigration crackdown targets their communities. But they reject being reduced to powerless victims. During the crisis, pastors and church volunteers have attended immigration court hearings, covered rent and legal fees, and donated and delivered food to those fearful of leaving home.
Thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews shut down traffic in Jerusalem this week as they protested being drafted into the Israeli army. AP's Joe Fetterman reports.
Standing here in front of a large crowd of ultra-Orthodox Jews here in central Jerusalem, they are among tens of thousands of people who are protesting against attempts by the Israeli government to enlist them, to draft them into the Israeli military. Military service is required. It's mandatory for most Jews in Israel. However, under a longstanding system, religious men are exempt from this requirement. This situation has caused complications for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Israeli Supreme Court has ordered him to halt this system of exemptions. However, he is dependent on powerful ultra-Orthodox parties to keep his coalition intact. If he moves too forward in ending this system, he risks seeing his government, his coalition, fall apart. That would plunge the country into an early election at a time when the prime minister is suffering and lagging in opinion polls.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.